All right, well, tonight I want to draw our attention to a very familiar verse of Scripture. In fact, this is a verse that maybe even is a life verse for many of us here tonight. It's right there in verse number 20, where Paul, writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." If you're in the habit of underlining your Bible or marking in your Bible, would you underline that phrase, "but Christ liveth in me"? But Christ liveth in me. What a powerful thought. What a wonderful reality. Christ living in me. Now, there are several different ways I could describe myself. What I mean by that are there are different tags I can put on me. I could say, first of all, that I am Heather's husband. I could say that I am Audrey, Ian, Aiden, and Ethan's father. I could say that I'm a Baptist. I could say that I'm a proud member of Beacon Baptist Church. There are many different ways in which we can introduce one another. But the first and foremost description that I should give of myself is that I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, and Jesus Christ lives in me. Because listen, if I don't remember that truth right there, then honestly, the rest of those descriptions, they lose their meaning. They fall short. They lose their focus. They will not be what God desires for them to be. We, according to this text tonight, we are in Christ as a believer, and Christ is in us. In other words, the Christian life is designed to be a life of union. It's to be a life of unity in Jesus Christ. We are in Christ, hence we share in His death and His resurrection, and God wants us to recognize the significance of that unity, the significance of that relationship. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." In other words, when we got saved, we received Jesus Christ, He lives in us, and now we have a divine new nature, according to the Bible. Galatians chapter 2, look what we read it just a moment ago. Look at verse 17. "But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid." Verse 18, "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." The Apostle Paul here is teaching the Galatians, he's reminding them that their trust now, their trust should no longer be in the keeping of the law, but that their trust now as a Christian ought to be in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That unlike the Judaizers and unlike the legalists there in the first century, it was not the Christian's responsibility to manufacture results. It was not the Christian's responsibility to manufacture, to work up some type of spirituality. But it was their responsibility to so live in Christ and to allow Christ to so live through them that the fruit that was coming out of their life would be the fruit of the divine nature and not the fruit of their own works. So this is the kind of Christian life God desires you and I to live out. This is it right here, His life through us. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd be with us now as we dive into Your Word a little bit this evening. Holy Spirit of God, I need You in a special way. Father, I pray that Your will would be accomplished. Lord, give me the words to say. I know no one's come to hear me, but Father, I pray that You'd be glorified in all things. By chance, if there's somebody here tonight, either in this room or watching on the live stream programming there, Lord, I pray that they don't know Christ as their Savior. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that You draw them to Yourself tonight. May we not just be hearers, but may we be doers of Your Word this evening. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Tonight I want to show you, look at three things from the text. Three things tonight on that thought, "but Christ liveth in me." And the first thing I want to draw your attention to is, number one, the believer's position. the believer's position. I want you to see tonight the position that you and I have as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ. And it's summarized in verse number 20. Paul, of course, writing says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He's emphatically stating, my position, it's not in myself. My position, he says, it's in Jesus Christ. Understand, church, that this was a constant position for the Apostle Paul. In other words, this was not something that Paul would put on periodically. This was not something that he would become on Sunday. This is not something that he does to try to act Christ-like. He says, I am crucified with Christ. It's a constant position. I have been, I now am, and I will be in Jesus Christ. And by the way, what a great position that is to be in Jesus Christ. You understand, I hope tonight, that it's more important to be in Christ than it is to be in a church building. It's more important to be in Christ than to be in a ministry. It's more important to be in Christ than in any other form of Bible study. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. It's a constant position. I am constantly, constantly with and constantly in Jesus Christ. But not only is it a constant position, it's a crucified position. Because he goes on, he says, I am constantly crucified with Christ. Paul identifies himself with the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Most of us know this already, but Paul had already previously tried to find life in keeping the law, in doing good works. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was one who had touched the law. Paul had accomplished great things. Paul had memorized much of the law. He had studied the law. He tried to live out the law. But guess what? He never found life in the law. He only found death and condemnation through the law. And so he says, when Christ died, he died. In other words, he found his identity was in Christ as being dead to the law, dead to the past, dead to the failures of the flesh. And so in Christ, we have died to the demands of the law. We have died to the jurisdiction of the law. For Jesus Christ brought about a new testament. He fulfilled by his blood sacrifice a new covenant. And the life that we live must be his life through us. Not our life with a little bit of help from him now and then when we go to God in prayer. No, but constantly his life through us. Do you realize that's your position tonight as a Christian? Do you realize that more important than any label you want to identify yourself as, more important than any tag that you put on you, is that you are a Christian and that you are in Christ and that Christ is in you? If you are a child of God tonight, that is your position. And you got to realize that. Romans 6, Paul writing says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. These verses here, they do not teach us that we are free from sinning. No Christian has ever obtained sinless perfection. There's only been one sinless and perfect one, and his name was Jesus Christ. But what it is talking about, when he says here, being crucified here, the old man being crucified, and he talks about not living for self, it doesn't mean that we're going to be free from ever sinning, but what it does mean is that we're free from the dominion of sin. And you know this to be true, that there are people in this world tonight, right now, and they are completely under the dominion of sin. They have no way to get out. They have no idea, they have no concept of what they need to do next. But in Christ, as a Christian tonight, there's absolutely no reason for you and I to live under the dominion of sin. In other words, it's not that we're going to live perfectly as a Christian. It's that God desires for us to live powerfully as a Christian. Our position is that we've been crucified. The old man, the power of the flesh, all the past failures, all of that has been crucified on the cross. Think of it this way. A dead man doesn't try to obey the law. He can't do it, for he's dead. A dead man can't battle this world in his flesh. He can't do that because he's dead. A dead man is not controlled anymore by sin because he's dead. And Paul says, I am dead. I am crucified with Christ. In other words, his position was a position of spiritual victory, not because of what he had done, not because of who he was or what he had achieved, but it was only because he was depending on Jesus Christ. Galatians 5 and verse 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And so we need to recognize that this is our position. This is our position as a Christian. Chapter 6, he says in verses 14 and 15, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So this cross identity, we could call it. Paul says, I'm reckoning myself to be dead to the past, dead to the flesh, dead to the law, but I'm alive to Christ. He says, I don't want to glory as a Christian in how hard I've worked or how many rules I've kept. Listen, church, we are not the glory. That's one of the weaknesses, I believe, sometimes of Christians, well-meaning Christians. They begin to glory in their lack of worldly activity, or maybe they begin to glory in their spiritual successes. But understand that when we start to glory in anything other than Jesus Christ, we're missing the point. Because real spiritual fruit, it's not because we tried real hard. Real spiritual fruit, listen, it's not because we did something, we try to keep a bunch of rules. Real spiritual fruit is because Jesus Christ has made a difference in my life. Real spiritual fruit is Jesus Christ living out through me. We got to realize that. But we also need to reckon it. Romans 6:11, Paul says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That word reckon, as many as you know, it means to count, it means to compute. God says, I want you to have a daily reckoning of this. God wants you and I to daily compute, daily take a moment and consider and to remember that, yes, I am dead to sin, and yes, I am dead to myself, and yes, I am dead to my pride, but I'm also alive, not because of what I've done, not because I go to church, not because I read my Bible, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of it this way. Sometimes people will get all, they get serious about counting calories. I'm not there yet. Maybe I will be at one point. But they count calories, and they're really serious about that. Really, what that is if something's important to your life, you're going to keep a record of that. You're going to count that. You're going to reckon that. You're going to constantly be checking in on that. And Paul is saying here, I don't want to live the old flesh way anymore. I'm going to reckon myself daily to be dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul didn't want his life to be about what he could get done and what he could accomplish, and about him, but it was about what Jesus could accomplish through him. So this reckoning, it's important. So our position as a child of God, as a Christian tonight, is that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. There's a second thing I want to draw your attention to tonight in this text, not just the believer's position, but notice, if you will, the believer's passion. His passion. Once we've acknowledged, once we've recognized the position that we have, this fellowship, this relationship, this union with Jesus Christ, then that ought to create more of a desire in our lives, in our hearts, to be more passionate about it. Now, I think sometimes through the years, and through the struggles of life, if we're not careful, we can lose the passion. Let's be honest. People get passionate about all types of things. Some of you are passionate about who's winning the Masters right now, if it's even still going on. Hopefully you're not checking your phone. Passionate. People get passionate about all types of things. I went to Bible college in Knoxville, Tennessee. People would paint their houses Tennessee orange. They got pretty passionate about Tennessee sports. But as a Christian, we ought not be passionate about anything more than we are about living for Jesus Christ. Paul says here in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. We said that's the position. But he goes on, he says, nevertheless, I live. That's his passion. Notice he's got a passion for this new life. He's passionate about living. I believe that when we recognize the powerful union that we have with Jesus and the potential of that union, that's something exciting to live for. And I believe the devil would love to do anything he can to extinguish that kind of passion in the life and in the heart of the believer. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus made it very clear all throughout the New Testament that the flesh, it profits nothing. The flesh, listen, the flesh does not get reformed. The flesh gets crucified with the old man. It is Jesus' spirit that gives us life and victory and power. John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And when we're saved by grace, listen, God did not make your sin or my sin nature acceptable to him. He killed it. He killed it and he gave us a new nature to live by. God does not expect the Christian life to be lived by the abilities and the powers of our flesh, but by the power of the Spirit of God. So he's got this passion for new life, but secondly, there's a passion for Christ's presence. In other words, it wasn't just about he was excited to live his life. It wasn't just zeal for life and zeal for living. It wasn't just passion to live. It was passion to live with Christ. It's talking with him. It's walking with him. He says there in verse 20, but Christ liveth in me. Paul was not living in the illusion of his own strengths. He was living in the power of Christ's strength. In Randy Alcorn's book, If God is Good, he tells the story of two ladies, and they're out to eat in a restaurant, and they had both experienced some pretty serious trials in their life, and they were trying to encourage one another by sharing and sharing some scripture. And while they were there, they noticed that there was a lady in the booth right next to them, and they would catch her eye once in a while during their conversations, and they were there for about an hour or so, and the lady was there. And finally the lady, she said, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you know, I overheard your conversation, and I just want you to know that you just need to keep on keeping on. And they thought, well, that's a little strange, that's a little weird, you know, just this stranger out of nowhere telling us this. And she got up, and she began to leave her booth, and she walked out of the restaurant wearing two prosthetic limbs, and she hobbled out using crutches. The waitress came to those two ladies and said, well, that young lady was involved in a terrible car accident just last year, and she almost died. She also lost her husband because he could no longer live with a woman that had no legs. She lost her job. She lost her ability to drive. She comes here every morning on the bus, and she sits here for about an hour or two every day of her life, and she just tries to look for opportunities to encourage other people. And I think she does that because she's a Christian. I want you to understand tonight that in our lives, our passion for living, it should not be about the condition of our flesh. Neither should it be about the condition of our finances. It should not be about the condition of anything. Our passion for life, it should be based upon the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon, in his book Lectures to My Students, said, when our own emptiness is painfully forced upon your consciousness, chide yourself that you ever dreamed of being full except in the Lord. In other words, without him, church, we can do nothing. Paul says, nevertheless, I live. Colossians 1 and verse 27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul was in Christ. That's his position. And because of the position that he had there of being in Christ, because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because Jesus declared, it is finished, because of that position, Paul now had a passion for living. Paul had a passion because of what Jesus has already done for him. R.A. Torrey once said, "When Jesus died, he died as my representative, and I died in him. And when he arose as my representative, and I arose in him. And when he ascended up on high and took his place at the right hand of the Father in glory, he ascended as my representative, and I ascended in him. And today I'm seated in Christ with God in the heavenlies. I look at the cross of Christ, and I know the atonement has been made for my sins. I look at the open sepulcher, and I know atonement has been accepted. There is no longer remaining a single sin on me, no matter how many or how great my sins have been." That's our position, child of God. Christian, that's our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And I hope that's your testimony this evening. I hope that's you tonight. I hope that the passion is in you because of the position that you have in Jesus Christ. A passion, not because everything's going awesome in your life, not even because everything's just going okay in your life, but a passion because of who's inside you tonight. The book of Romans, it shows us what it means to be in Christ. We have no condemnation in Christ. We are free from the law in Christ. We have the Spirit indwelling us in Christ. Our mortal bodies will be quickened because of Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ. All things work together for good because of Christ. He has a purpose for us to be conformed to the image of Christ. God is for us because we are in Christ. We are freely given all things in Christ. We are justified tonight in Christ. We have an intercessor in Christ. We cannot be separated from the love of God because of Christ. Then Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and he tells us that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings because of Christ. And we're positioned in heavenly places because of Christ. And we're chosen to be blameless before God because of Christ. And we're adopted as children in Christ. And we're accepted by God through Christ. And we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're forgiven from our sins because of Christ. And we're bound toward God in wisdom and prudence because of Christ. And we are revealed. His will is revealed to us because of Christ. And we have obtained an inheritance tonight because of Christ, that we are the praise of His glory. We're sealed by His Spirit. We have the security of Jesus. We're the workmanship of Christ. We're made nigh unto the blood because of Jesus Christ tonight. That's our position. Are you passionate about that? I'm just trying to say that when you're tired and down and weary, and the devil comes and says, "You know what? You're nothing." You can look back at him and say, "I am nothing, but Jesus is everything." Well, how's your passion tonight? That he's in me and I'm in him. Paul says, "Nevertheless, I live." In other words, understand that the answer is not always to try harder. Sometimes the answer is to more fully comprehend the work of the cross, to live in the grace of the cross. The answer is not always to work harder. Sometimes the answer in the spiritual life is just to more fully comprehend the meaning of Christ living in me. That's our position. We're crucified. We got to wake up every day and remember that, hey, I'm dead to the old. I'm alive to the new. Listen, let me just say this. I guarantee if tomorrow morning you crawl out of bed and you are alive to the old, you're going to have a rough day. Huh? But when we're dead to the old, and alive to Christ. Listen, it's a wonderful thing. No matter what else is going on in life, the believer's position, the believer's passion. Let me bring out number three here. Thirdly, the believer's persuasion. How do you and I as Christians remain persuaded of all of this? How do we remain consistently, passionately living for Jesus day after day? Well, look at verse 20 again. Paul says here, he says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Look what he says, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." In other words, he's persuaded by faith. The flesh that he mentions here is not Paul living in sin. It's Paul living through the efforts of his own physical body. He says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, successful Christian living, it always comes back to faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. Colossians 2 and verse 6 says, as ye have received therefore Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 15 says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. In other words, it's by faith. I want to live it, he says, by faith in the Son of God. We're persuaded by faith. But watch this now as we, let me give you one more thought. It's not just persuaded by faith, but it's also then developed by faith. So the persuasion is first by faith. And then it's further developed. It's grown. We grow in faith. Now how does God increase our faith? Well, if Paul says, I'm going to live by faith in the Son of God, how then is my faith increased? I think we know this to be true, that faith does not get increased by good times. That's why the trials that come into our life, God never wants that trial to be wasted. Randy Alcorn once said, he said, believing God exists is not the same as trusting the God who exists. In other words, it's one thing to historically, you know, believe in the resurrection, but it's something entirely different when you trust the Lord as you crawl out of the bed tomorrow, okay? There's a difference. Vance Havner once said, where are the marks of the cross in your life? Are there any points of identification with our Lord? Alas, too many Christians wear medals and not too many wear scars. So here's the thought. The thought is, by faith, I begin this process. By faith, I begin this thing called the Christian life, my journey in Christ. And then by faith, continued faith, I develop. And if he loved me enough to die for me, then he loves me enough to live his life through me. Let me say that again. If he loves me enough to die for me, then he loves me enough to live his life through me. And that kind of faith, listen, it can only get developed through trials, through the Word of God, through time in prayer. But my friends, whatever is going on in your life tonight, make sure the union you began with the Lord, that moment when you got saved, that faith that brought you to Christ, that it's being also now developed by faith. It's growing, that you're living out by faith the Christian life, that Christ is living it through you. It's a tremendous thing tonight to know that nothing ever could break our union with Christ. I don't know how old you were when you got saved, how long ago it was, but listen, friend, when Jesus saved you, he never intended to ever leave you. When we think about relationships here on earth, sometimes, unfortunately, there are people that come into our life and people that we love and care about dearly, and they hurt us. Or maybe they leave us. But Jesus Christ never intends to leave you. In fact, he wants to seal you and keep you. Paul says in Romans 8, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad that when I am in Christ, he's also in me. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad tonight the Word of God is settled. And I want to encourage all of us here this evening, as we think about these next couple days, next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, I want to encourage all of us as we think about these days that we'll recognize not just the historical aspect of the cross and the empty tomb, but that we'll truly recognize our position that we have because of Jesus. And that because we recognize that, it'll cause a passion in our hearts this week to go out and tell people about the Lord, to live for the Lord, Don't ever stop being persuaded by faith that nothing's going to separate you from the love of God. Would you bow your head with me tonight? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Do you recognize your position in Christ as a believer this evening? You say with uplifted hand, you say, Brother Lowe, I know that I'm saved. I know heaven is my home. I know this is a Sunday night crowd. You say, Brother Lowe, I know I'm a Christian. I don't have any doubts about that this evening. That's my testimony. I'm not ashamed about it. Would you lift your hand up? Would you be so kind as to give testimony of God's saving grace in your life? Amen. Hands are all over the building. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You may put them down. As you just raise your hand just there, can you honestly say that you have a passion for God right now? You have a passion for the Lord, a desire. Sometimes if we've been saved a while, sometimes that thing, things will leapfrog over that. And they become the important things. And sometimes they're good things, important things, day-to-day things. But listen, they're not as important as your relationship with the Lord. And I want to encourage you tonight, if God spoke to your heart, we're going to have an invitation here in just a moment. And I'm going to ask the pianists as they come, the music folks, if they'd start to get in their spots there. Do you have a passion tonight? You remember what it was like when you first got saved? How excited you were about the Lord? Are you still that way? Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord. That phrase, but Christ liveth in me, it's foreign to you because you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're watching on our live stream. You say, Brother Lowe, that's me tonight. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I know it's a Sunday night crowd. But by chance, if you're here tonight, maybe it's a young person, not sure of heaven. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray. We're going to have a short invitation tonight. Brother Andy's going to be down front. The altar is open. I would encourage you to either get with God there in your seat or here at the altar. If God has spoken to your heart, don't think it a small thing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. Father, I thank you for your word and the simple truth of this passage. It's a familiar passage, no doubt, to all of us here. But Lord, help us to grab a hold of that position. Christ lives in us. Help it to make us be passionate about you. And Lord, just be with us as a church. Lord, we're praying. We're expecting you to do great things through this church. And Lord, I just pray that you start with us. Bless this invitation. Be with the decisions that are made. Help us now, I pray.